Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. My guest today is Dr. Michael Brown. We'll be talking about the Supreme Court decisions that have surprised a lot of the conservative Christians and evangelical Christians, as well as some of the current events taking place in the United States. Now, Dr. Brown is the founder and president of Ask Dr. Brown Ministries and Fire School of Ministry in Concord, North Carolina. He's a host of the daily, nationally, and syndicated talk radio show, The Line of Fire. He also hosts TV shows on God TV, METV, which is in Israel in the Middle East, and NRB TV. Dr. Brown is a national and international speaker on themes of spiritual renewal and cultural reformation, and he has debated Jewish rabbis, agnostic professors, and gay activists on radio, television, college campuses. He is widely considered to be the world's foremost messianic Jewish apologist. He's the author of 40 books, including one released in 2020 titled Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Will We Pass the Trump Test? Dr. Brown's radio program, Line of Fire, has been broadcasting Monday through Friday on our online Christian radio station, evangelismradio.com, for almost 7 years now. And he's been on the podcast a couple of times in the past 3 years as well. Help me welcome back to the program, Dr. Michael Brown. Dr. Brown, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be with you. I can't believe we've been on the network for 7 years. That's amazing.
Amen. And yours is one of our most listened to programs as well. Praise the Lord.
Excellent. Glad to hear that.
I just want to jump right into a question that as I was doing the research, I seen on your website. Is there a spirit of Jezebel at work in America right now?
Oh, yeah. No question. So let me explain what I mean by it. I have a whole book on that came out last year, Jezebel's War with America. So when we speak of a spirit of Jezebel, we don't mean the ghost of Queen Jezebel from 3,000 years ago. What we mean is the same demonic powers that operated through her that are Jezebelic in nature, that have certain characteristics, that then operated through a false prophetess in the New Testament that Jesus referred to as Jezebel 2,000 years ago. Those same demonic powers are operating in America again today. So let's connect the dots. You have the spirit of seduction that was part of who Jezebel was. So with that, you have the massive rise of internet porn and the sexual immorality. You have radical feminism and its tentacles in the Shout Your Abortion movement. In the ancient world, when there was idol worship, there was also killing of babies. Yeah. So you see that connection there, the spirit of idolatry and worldliness, the spirit of baby killing. There is also an attack on men, the emasculating of men. There's a war on gender distinctions. There's a rise of witchcraft. Jezebel is also associated with witchcraft and sorcery in the Bible. You see all these things happening across America. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. You recognize how these are not unrelated, but very much related. But now let's take things further. The nation is now being convulsed with the protests over the killing of George Floyd, but that's also led to all kinds of riots and upheaval. Well, let's trace that back, the bad stuff. Not the standing for justice, but the bad stuff. We trace that back to the BLM movement, the Black Lives Matter movement. And it has three founders, all women. Two of them professed queer activists. So they are queer Black women, all three Marxists, and all three radical feminists. So even at the root of what is shaking America now, once again, the spirit of Jezebel.
Oh, my goodness. And a lot of people don't realize what BLM is actually standing for. They think it's this great cause that will lift people up. But in actuality, it is designed by nature to take them down.
Yeah, we shout out to the world that Black lives do matter. And you say, why not just shout out all lives matter? Well, because Blacks historically in America have often felt that their lives do not matter in the eyes of the larger white population, or that their lives can be taken and nobody even cares. So we affirm, we shout out, Black lives do matter. And then we warn about the BLM movement. And I have been shouting from the rooftops, using every vehicle I have, warning conservative Christians, you do not want to be part of that movement because it will turn on you. Yeah. And look, let's also face this for a moment. This is not primarily about Black lives. This is primarily about a larger social agenda. Because if it was primarily about Black lives, when you're talking about defunding the police, the ones that are going to suffer the most are Blacks. Yeah. Black lives will be hurt the most as the police are defunded in city after city. So by all means, let's stand together with our Black brothers and sisters for justice and Amen. For equal treatment under the law. Absolutely. But let us recognize that the BLM movement is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-family values. They say we stand for the deconstructing of the nuclear Western family. And right. they make it very, very clear, that they want to see queer activism, trans activism. To them, that is just as important as Black lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about the recent Supreme Court decisions that basically surprised the evangelical base. You know, the Louisiana case, you know, the gay rights case. And in both cases, the deciding votes were cast by so-called Christian conservatives. I mean, have we fallen so far that even Christians refuse to obey God's word first and foremost, and they'll just bow to the political culture rather than God's word?
Yeah, Baba, I think what happens is that there is a spirit of the age, an enlightened spirit, a wise spirit, and we become like the world. We take on the mindset and the characteristics of the world. And there must be tremendous spiritual pressure once you are in D.C., once you are in Congress or on the court. And basically, you almost never see a liberal judge who gets appointed to the Supreme Court who shifts and becomes conservative.
Right.
But you constantly see conservatives that shift and become liberals. So let's think this through. The one who cast the deciding vote, the historic vote in the Obergefell versus Hodges decision and redefined marriage outrageously, the court has no right to do that, in 2015, that was Justice Anthony Kennedy, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan. Now, of course, if Bork had made it in, then Bork would have been that vote and probably would have gone the other direction. He probably would have been one of those that stood strong. But Kennedy shifted. Then you have Chief Justice John Roberts, who was appointed by George W. Bush. And he had been a historic conservative. He cast the deciding vote in the Obamacare decision. That was massive. And that was a shocker. Now he joins together with Justice Neil Gorsuch, appointed by Donald Trump. And Gorsuch writes the majority opinion, a 6-3 ruling, that redefines the meaning of sex to make it mean something it could not have possibly meant in 1964 to now include things like gender identity and sexual orientation. So, and look, here's the other thing. Gorsuch, as much as he was looked to be a good guy, he was also part of a church tradition that was very weak on these things, that affirmed same-sex marriage, for example. So his Christianity was not that conservative. Maybe his cultural views were, or his views of the Constitution, but there was not necessarily a deep Christian-based faith with it. And had that been the case, he might have ruled differently.
Amen. You know, I've been saying publicly for many years now, I know you have as well, but, you know, I see that the fault of the prominence of this anti-God culture in the nation right now is mainly due to the lack of the church leaders, pastors, ministers, etc., speaking out against these immoral policies back when they first started, back in the 60s. You know, if they would have stood up then, things might be different now. Why do you believe many evangelicals, Black, white, etc., do not express their outrage at politicians who support abortion, gay marriage, and other anti-God policies that just fly in the face of the Bible and the one true God?
There are a few reasons. One reason is a man-pleasing spirit, that we don't want people to reject us or hate us or turn against us, so we just better keep our mouths shut. And if we're preachers and pastors, we don't want to create controversy, so let's avoid the controversial issues and just talk about Jesus and things like that. but often there is a lot of compromise involved with that attitude. Another is that we're kind of given up on the political system. Yeah. We've elected this one, elected that one, and this one lets us down, and that one lets us down. And because of that, we kind of throw our hands up and think, why even bother? But I think the biggest issue is not the political system, as you say, but our lack of witness. I've said for many years that my big issue, my big concern is not so much the presence of darkness, but the absence of light. That's what concerns me more than anything. So that's what I'm looking at for the church to arise, for the church to awake, for the church to take on its holy calling in God. And as we do that, things will change. If repentance begins with us, if we'll turn to the Lord and earnestly seek him, and then live our lives righteously before the world, there are enough of us that there'll be a massive cultural shift. Now, there'll be pushback, and there'll be attacks on us, even violently. So be it. Mm-hmm. We won't respond the same way. But the big problem is a sleeping church. That's the big issue. And even in, my latest book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, I do talk about Trump. The whole book deals with evangelicals and Trump. And I lay out the arguments against voting for Trump and then the arguments for voting for Trump, as I myself am a Trump voter. But then I lay out a major strategy saying much more important than who's in the White House is the state of the church.
Yeah.
Much more important than who we vote for is how we live. So that's where we need to put our emphasis, seeking God earnestly in prayer and repentance, because America's in a mess right now. I mean, from every side, we are in a mess. And if we don't wake up to reality now, it's going to be crazy in the days ahead.
Amen. Amen. You know, it would have gone right along that lines about, you know, the sleeping church. It amazes me that, you know, especially in the inner cities, which are mostly African-American, their pastors don't speak out against, you know, the abortion issues and all that stuff that... How can someone say they are being a Christian and still support all of the anti-God policy? I mean, with almost no protest against it. I mean, that is just, to me, that speaks a bigger issue than, you know, the riots and all that. That's the effect of the cause, I guess you could say.
But I've had this discussion with Black Christian friends, and on my radio show, I've asked people to call in and talk about it. And here's what's interesting. I will hear from Black Christians that say, I oppose abortion. I oppose homosexual practice. We preach and teach against it in our church, but we don't believe the political system is going to fix either of those. They will say, we didn't see Reagan fix abortion. We didn't see George H.W. Bush fix it. We didn't see George W. Bush fix it. Now, even with Trump and his appointees, we're not seeing it fixed either. That's going to have to come from people's hearts changing and getting a different mentality. And we're voting based on economic issues, based on things that are going to be best for our families and education and things like that. So their perspective is we're voting Democrat because the Democrats are more concerned with our well-being, with our kids getting a better education, with our economic opportunities. Now, many conservatives would say, no, it's the exact opposite. The Democrats are the one keeping you down and the welfare system is keeping you down. But the perception is that Democrats care more about the poor, about the inner city, about minorities, and therefore they're going to vote Democrat even while opposing abortion and homosexuality. Now, to me, you can't do that.
Yeah.
To me, I cannot. Again, I'm not condemning their decision. That's between them and God. I'm not saying they don't love the Lord. We all have our blind spots, right? I'm sure I do just as well. Mm-hmm. But in my view, you cannot be a committed Christian and vote for a pro-abortion candidate.
Yeah.
I see no possible way to do that.
Yeah. In your book, you discuss the need for us to put spiritual things before political things.
Yeah.
Can you explain in light of the Christian liberties that we're losing right now and all
that? Yeah. So voting is important. It certainly is, but spiritual emphasis and spiritual activity is far more important. In other words, if we took the energy that we devote to politics, the fundraising, the billions of dollars, the countless thousands of hours, the emotions, the passions,
the endless watching of cable news and listening and reading and debating. And if we took that energy and focused it in prayer and winning our neighborhoods to the Lord, and then voted according to our conscience for the candidate we thought was best, we could do far, far, far more good than neglecting the spiritual things, the things that matter most, the things that are most important, and then just having kind of some cursory, we get consumed with politics and we'll pray a little here. No, let's reverse it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the principles I lay out in Evangelicals at the Crossroads is we must put spiritual activity before political activity. It's not that we throw out political activity. It's not that we abandon the scene. Look, when I came to faith in 71 as a heroin shooting LSD using hippie rock drummer, we were told this is it. All the prophecies are fulfilled. Jesus is coming any second. We'll be out of here. And a lot of Christians abdicated their responsibility. To this day, in the midst of COVID-19 and the protests and the riots and the economic upheaval, people say, hey, we're out of here any minute. We're going to escape before it gets really bad. It's like, no, we're here. Yeah. We're here for the long term. We're here until Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom. So rather than abdicate, rather than have an escapist mentality, the question would be, okay, what can we do to bring about change? Mm-hmm. How can we be vessels of change? And it comes first and foremost through spiritual activity. And look, let's be honest. It's easier to have a conversation with a human being than to pray. It's easier to read the news than to read the Bible. Mm-hmm. There's something that requires spiritual effort. It's easier to go with the grain of the society, with the flow of the society, rather than live holy countercultural lives. So bottom line is awakening needs to start with us. Transformation needs to start with us. And as that happens, yes, we vote. Yes, we lobby. Maybe you run for office in your local school board, city council. Maybe you get involved. You know, look, we're always quick to complain about what's wrong. We don't always do things to act on what's right. So let's act on what's right. Let's take godly stand. You know, amen to all of that. But first things first, spiritual first, political second.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, let's talk about the importance of this upcoming election. You know, many people don't like Donald Trump because he's so, caustic in his personality and his background, et cetera, isn't very quote unquote Christian-like. You know, but the word says in Daniel 2:21 that the Lord removes kings and sets up kings. You know, I'd like your thoughts on the Lord supernaturally moving in a way that put Donald Trump in office for such a time as this that we're going through right now.
Yeah, I believe that God did uniquely raise up Donald Trump, that there's no other way he would have become president. That's one thing. And that even Christian prophecies saying that he'd be elected before he was and that he'd be an unlikely candidate, they seem so crazy when they were spoken, but they happen. Yeah. It doesn't mean everything he does is right or good or that we have to support or back everything he does, because God could raise someone up for many purposes, for blessing as well as for judgment.
Yeah,
but here's the way I look at it. I look at the damage Trump does with his tongue, with his demeanor, with the degree to which he has kind of degraded the moral culture of the nation, being the kind of person that he is. And to the extent I'm identified with him, that could make the gospel cause look bad. Then on the flip side, I say, okay, what about the slaughtering of babies? Will Trump give babies a better shot at life than Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton? Yes. What about fighting for religious liberties? That's big. That's the world my kids and grandkids grow up in, right?
Amen.
Will Trump do a better job of standing for religious liberties than Clinton or Biden? Yes. What about pushing back against radical LGBTQ activism? Is it Trump or is it Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden? Trump. What about standing up against international Islamic terrorism? Trump. What about pushing back against the tyranny of China and fighting for the freedom of people in Hong Kong? Trump. What about standing with Israel, keeping promises to Israel? Trump.
Amen.
So those are big issues to me, moral issues as well. And I have to decide, okay, can I handle this guy who can be profane and base and juvenile and his own worst enemy? For the good that he'll do, or do I just let one of the other candidates be elected by not voting? So my view is, when it comes to a vote, yeah, he'll get my vote, but he doesn't get my soul. He doesn't get my life.
Right. Yeah,
he doesn't have my undying loyalty or allegiance. So that's one of the big messages of evangelicals at the crossroads. And part of passing the Trump test is that we can vote for him without selling our soul.
Amen.
That we can vote for him without becoming his defenders and apologists. So we can say, yeah, don't like you the way you did this, wish you wouldn't say this, etc. At the same time, we are saying, but he's doing the right thing here and the right thing there, and therefore he gets our vote. We boil it down, we bottom line it.
Amen, amen. Yeah, I have to agree wholeheartedly with that. Amen. Now, as we get ready to close, what message do you have for Christian believers today concerning the hour and day in which we live, you know, with all the protests, the violence, anti-God agenda, anti-Christian rhetoric going on? What encouragement can you give them as we approach Election Day?
We're living in the most momentous times in recent history. The shaking that's happening in our society, when you put everything together, so the pandemic, the economic crisis, starting the year with the impeachment hearings, the protests, the riots, the upheaval, the election season, we've never had everything shaking like this at once in America.
Amen.
And without question, we are at a key moment in history where if we allow the mobocracy, if we allow the radical left to triumph, we will not recognize America anymore. Yeah. It'll become something we've never seen before. So it's absolutely critical in that regard. At the same time, we cannot put our trust in the White House alone. So the vote is big because a lot of things hang in the balance. It's almost a vote for Trump versus social anarchy, or a vote for Trump versus radical Marxism. I mean, it's extreme. On the one hand, on the other hand, the church must awake. So we vote, but we put our emphasis on revival, renewal, until God shakes this nation.
Yeah, amen, amen. I'm recommending that our listeners get a copy of your book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Will We Pass the Trump Test? How can they obtain a copy of your book?
They can get it at our website, askdrbrown.org, or they can just go to Amazon. They can order the ebook or the paperback at amazon.com. So askdrbrown.org or Amazon, and the book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads.
Amen. I'll put all links to that down in the show notes. Folks, Dr. Brown is a major voice of reason in this day and time in which we live. And I highly recommend you get in touch with him. You absolutely need to get a copy of his book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Will We Pass the Trump Test? You need to subscribe to his radio program, Line of Fire, not just listen, but support his ministry efforts financially. I mean, he's busy traveling, writing books, speaking, and also doing his daily live radio programming. He is the voice of reason in such a time as this. Go down to the show notes right now. All the links will be there. And order his book and contact his ministry. And if you have any questions, ask. And you may even find your question answered on his radio program, praise the Lord. Dr. Brown, I want to thank you again for taking the time to join us today. I do appreciate it.
My joy. God bless you.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Dr. Michael Brown, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.